Hey everyone, I'm going to release a short episode, short-ish. It's not a complete finish of our conversation on Trouble Man, but I, lo and behold, recorded this on January 27th, the night of January 27th. Earlier that day, I had just seen Gail King's interview with Cicely Tyson, and the universe steps in the course of events that happens in just the real time. What I was doing while I was recording this content, and it is in honor of Cicely Tyson. Lo and behold, just what I happened to start doing while I was recording this episode turned the content for a section of this into discussing Cicely Tyson. Who knew? And it does also go in depth into continuing the conversation of Trouble Man. There's something very, very interesting that only Marvin Gaye, kind of just being present, would make happen. Just listen. It takes about maybe 19 minutes in, and then you'll be like, what the fuck? So yes, that I'm going to release this much right now because I don't want it to not be timely. But yeah. I appreciate those of you that have tuned in to my old movie channel, Cinema Classics, and have watched Sounder. I can tell you guys did that immediately from last episode. And so this right here, this episode that will follow, kind of really is picking up discussing Sounder, oddly enough. But then there is a very even odder, something that Marvin is a part of. That connects that directly to the movie Trouble Man to continue this conversation. So, like I said, this would not have been all of the rest of the information that I would have released on our conversation of Trouble Man, but it is very timely just to show some honor and respect to Cicely Tyson. So here we go. Stay tuned.
Welcome, friends, to the Enduring Gifts of Marvin Gaye podcast, brought to you by your 26-year listening veteran, Jessica. Join me as we celebrate these enduring gifts, the songs of Marvin Gaye. In each episode, I will share insights about the music and recount life experiences tied to it. I'm hoping to inspire you to take a first or your 500 first listen to these songs that are truly the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye.
Yes, I am going to give you the rest of the Trouble Man stuff. So I'm going to record this probably in bits and pieces as I'm reading through the booklet that accompanied the 40th anniversary release. But what I just read was amazing. And it just, why I was like, yes, it takes me back into childhood days, being in the basement, going through my grandmother's Ebony magazine collection. She had them for decades. And I'm not going to do it because I actually don't even like to get into them anymore. Even when we were back, my sisters will tell you, even when we were back in the day, I made them very carefully only touch the edges of the magazine. Like, it was legit. Like, don't fuck up these magazines because you're going to get hurt. Like, these are classic. They are going to be worth something. And I knew that back then. So they very carefully had to pick them up at the corners and take their time with flipping through the pages. But so through that, through the years of doing that, I have it. I think it has to be in 1975, is it? Anyway, my grandma had it. I have it still to this day. I just am not going to go open up the magazine. But there is an Ebony magazine. And I've put it on the Pinterest page. But Marvin went bald at a certain point. He was in honor of Reuben Carter, the hurricane, and he shaved off all of his head, all of his hair. I don't know how long it took for his hair to grow back. Marvin actually shaved off his beard too, huh? Like, I'm thinking of this in my mind's eye. Like, I'm seeing the picture. Marvin's on stage with these lady dancers. It was in Ebony. It's a very small picture in Ebony. But he is bald and he shaved off his beard too, huh? Wow. I made a statement in the course of doing this. Actually, now I'm walking over to the Ebonies because I'm like, when was it? I'm pretty sure it was in 1975. That picture is in. I've got one with Quincy Jones and his white wife. No, just him was on the cover. Sammy Davis Jr. Who do we have here? This is... I don't know who this... Next Year Is Going to Be Different by Vita Blue. There's some black baseball player. October of 1972. Wow. I wonder if I look through here if it would have something about Trouble Man. I don't know who this is on the cover. I don't know why they wouldn't say that. Like, unless just in 1972 you were so supposed to know who this man is. He's a pitcher. He's got 35... Devu. It looks like it says on there. Blue? Oh no. Vita Blue. Maybe that's who that is. Anyway, oh my gosh. Anyway, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I'm actually in the Ebonies. Now I'm just not going to be able to concentrate. But anyway, yes. Oh my gosh. We've got The Ultimate Black by Apex for the new black woman. Let me put this little device down because I see it going in and out. Anyway. Oh, look. Ah! I told you guys. Hold on. Now I got to call this out. I told you guys about my old movie channel and I told you about Sounder. And I told you how you have to watch that movie. And I can see that some of you have because I can't get anybody to watch that movie on that channel. And I feel like it had 7 views before I told you guys that, and now it's up to 24. So you guys have seen this movie, but I just turned the page and there's an ad for Sounder and on the October 1972 Ebony. A classic, easily the best of all the black films and would rank extremely high when stacked up against films, period. Sounder. Da 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 da. Coming soon to a theater near you. Oh my gosh. And so this is perfect. Because it's telling you why you have to see this movie, people, is because it stars Cicely Tyson, okay? But Cicely Tyson and Paul Winfield, and in the same year, 1972, Paul Winfield stars in Trouble Man. Ah! This is awesome. It's a full-page ad there. Okay. I didn't mean to get myself off track by... There's an ad for Ethiopia in the Ebony magazine. Bermuda. Wow, there is a Zenith introduces the complete color TV. It's a super chroma color Zenith. This thing is probably giving you about 24 inches of screen and about 500 pounds of plastic console. Them motherfuckers used to be heavy back in the day, huh? I got the little turn dial. There's some platform shoes. Things happen when you wear eleganza. The boldest collection of dashing apparel and dramatic imported footwear anywhere. Platforms. Wow. There's an old Fitzgerald alcohol bottle ad. Oh, wow. A Buick. The solid feeling for 73. 73 was coming up. This is October. We've got a hamburger rice supreme recipe. Minute Maid. Chrysler Plymouth. Wow. Okay, this is not about Trouble Man, but this is just about history. They've got a picture of the guy that's the publisher of Ebony. What's his name, right? That's not, they're not shouting him out. Right, Henry Johnson. In the magazine industry, the most prestigious award is the Henry Johnson Fisher Award, given annually to the publisher of the year by the Magazine Publishers Association. Okay, that went to John H. Johnson, editor and publisher of Ebony and owner and president of Johnson Publishing. I could tell just by his face. I was like, that's the man that's in charge of Ebony magazine. Wow, there's a feminine hygiene ad. We have Purslane scalp treatment. Attractive hair keeps you young looking. There is some malt liquor. What is this? Sparkling extra dry champagne. It's champagne. Malt liquor. Champagne. Some people just know how to live. There's a picture of Sammy Davis hugging Richard Nixon. I don't know what that couldn't have been a very good look. We've got a Campbell's tomato soup ad. Oh, wow. Is it Mom's Maze Mobley? Maisley? What's her name? She's giving you a grape Kool-Aid. You're never too old for Kool-Aid. Wow. We have a Canadian Mist. Wow. Well, that's how I came into the game. I used to drink Canadian Mist. There is a Chef Boyardee. Sorry, if you're hearing that, it's my hair touching the paper here. Chef Boyardee, spaghetti and meatballs. We've got a coupon for Cool cigarettes. Women lawmakers on the move. Duo headed for U.S. Congress. We've got Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm, first black woman to be elected to the U.S. House. Wow, guys. So in October of 1972, they're featuring that she was the first woman just elected to the House of Representatives. You know how many people there are in the House of Representatives? Like 400 plus people. Made further political history running as a major party candidate for nomination as U.S. presidential candidate. She is serving her second term as a U.S. representative from Brooklyn. And then let's see, here's somebody else. California Assemblywoman Yvonne Braithwaite looks forward to the November election, which should send her to the U.S. House. She is part of the vanguard of young black politicians who have begun asserting themselves on all levels of government. Yes, this is everything. Wow. Hold on, there's somebody else too. There were three ladies here. So there's responding to Texas Senate committee hearing on a proposal to petition the U.S. Congress to bar school busing by constitutional amendment, Texas Senator Barbara Jordan explains, "I just think that would be tragic. I oppose that and will continue to do so." So she was a senator from Texas. Wow. See, Ebony's gives you everything for life. This is a multi-page article on these women. Women lawmakers. And then we have a cachet. It's the fragrance as individual as you are. We've got a dark and lovely. There's a really long article on a former Ghanaian president income and welfare in the black community. Pontiac introduces the 1973 Grand Prix. Happy Mother's Day. They got a lot of alcohol. Ravine. Another Old Crow bourbon. Royal Shield. Naturals Lead a Fuller Life. It's got a blown out afro going on here. Oh, wow! They have an article on Sounder! Movie Sounder is a modern rarity, a film to be enjoyed by the whole family. Yes, people, you, please believe me, like, you have to watch Sounder. Now, I've known about Sounder since I was a teenager, but I was really happy to see that one time, I tell you guys all the time about Turner Classic. And how they have on Saturday nights. I don't know when it actually comes on anymore. I don't have it anymore. But it's called The Essentials. And they had Ava DuVernay. They had brought her in to be the co-host of that shit every week. And one night, I caught it one night when they were featuring Sounder. Now, of course, that's like my 50th time seeing the movie. But it was like, yes, you got to school people to what was going on back in those days. Oh my gosh. So just lo and behold, by chance today, I saw Cicely Tyson's interview with Gayle King because she was talking about her new autobiography that she just released. Did you know that Cicely Tyson was married to Miles Davis? I didn't know that. For like 7 years, but they were together for like decades. And anyway, so Cicely Tyson is the mom in this movie. And she remembered at the time for like doing the press junkets for this movie, interviewing with a white press guy, and the white guy said that he like recognized the natural bigot inside of himself while he was watching the movie. And she was like, what do you mean? You know, like, do tell. And he was like, I found myself very uncomfortable in the movie when the oldest son was always referring to his father as daddy. And she was like, right away, she was like, well, do you have children? And he was like, yeah. And she's like, well, what do they call you? And he's like, daddy. And she said, guys, this is super important. She said in that moment, she realized, she was like, oh my God. She was like, they do not see us as human. Like, that, it's foreign to this man that black children refer to their fathers as daddy. That's how much they don't think that we're human. So she said she realized in that moment, and this is October-ish of 1972. So the end of 1972. She realized that she was not going to have the luxury with her acting career to just take little light and fluffy roles that didn't mean shit, that were just like a nice paycheck for her or whatever. Like, she knew that she had to use her career as her platform to like show correct images of the black family, black women, black queens. So I absolutely did not expect to come across this write-up for Sounder in here. They have so many color photos of it. And black and white when I just turned the picture. Wow. Yeah, they're still going. There's so many pictures in here. Wow, still. Yes. Got a full page full of ways Lysol spray makes your nice, clean home even nicer. Try it in your shoes. Try it on your drain. Stop mold and mildew. in the odors they cause, spray under sinks, around the shower and tub, and in other damp places. In your closet, down your drain. It'll kill athlete's foot fungus on the shower and bathroom floor. Get rid of smoking odors that cling to drapes. Ah, wow. Check this out. Take Lysol spray when you travel. It kills germs other people leave behind when you spray basins, showers, other surfaces in public washrooms and motels. The spray that does it all, Lysol. Wow, there is still another page for Sounder. Oh my god! Okay. Okay, this is the reason why Marvin, like, directed me. This, you guys are like, what the fuck is this chick doing? Oh my god, so right? Like, I've told you now, I'm, like, on the sixth page of stuff for Sounder. And in the last episode, at the end of the last episode, I told you guys to watch Sounder. And I can tell a lot of you have, because you've grown that movie count, the view count on that movie on my old movie channel. So I was looking at, there's a picture here. These are just like a lot. There were pictures from the actual movie, like film, you know, pictures from the movie, like scenes from the movie. And now there's a page of 1, 2, 3, 4 pictures. And at the bottom, I'm looking at this picture and I'm like, that's fucking Trouble Man. And it is. It's the actor Trouble Man on the set with the children from Sounder. So let me read what this says. Visiting the set, actor Robert Hooks talks with his sons, Eric and Kevin. Oh my god! Wow! Marvin wanted us to know this, people. Oh my god. Only Marvin is doing this right now. Do you understand why at the end of my last episode about Trouble Man, I told you guys that you have to watch the movie Sounder? And then because I just read something that reminded me of like a typical ad that I would usually see in my grandmother's Ebony magazines, like I couldn't help but to come to my stack of Ebony magazines. And I went through about 6 of them with you guys. And for some reason, I did stop and pick out the one from October of 1972. And I told you, like, oh, I'm not going to. I have gone now 90 pages. I have flipped every single one of these pages. And so I see this picture and I see the man and I'm like, that's the Trouble Man. Who the fuck would have known that Trouble Man is the dad of, what's his name? Robert Lee? What's his name? What's his name in this movie? 13th birthday. So he turned 13 on set. Kevin was the only child actor who was a professional. I feel like in the movie, I don't know. Let me go back in these pages here and see if it says what the boy's name is in the movie. Nathan Lee. Nathan Lee. In a setting of rare beauty, the Nathan Lee Morgans have a life of hardship. Okay, wait. Yep. And despair in the movie Sounder, a 20th Century Fox release about a sharecropper's family growing up in Louisiana during the Depression years, which in film seem not unlike the life of today for many blacks. Here, Rebecca Morgan, Cicely Tyson, does laundry outside the shack, which is Morgan home. Movie was produced by Robert Randitz and directed by Martin Ritt. La da 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 da. David Lee. Yeah, David Lee. Okay, David Lee. That's the little boy's name. And his real name is Kevin Hooks. And so then pages and pages later, there's a picture. Visiting the set, actor Robert Hooks talks with his sons, Eric and Kevin. So, oh my gosh, that's another piece of reality too. Both of the little boys in that movie who play brothers in that movie are really brothers because they were both Trouble Man's sons. Oh, Hooks starred for years on the TV show NYPD
and was one of the organizers of the Negro Ensemble Theater in New York. He currently directs the Black Repertory Theater in Washington, D.C., a group that utilizes new Black actors. Wow, people! I guarantee you that right there, that little biography that we just got on Robert Hooks is going to be the most that I will find on him. Because didn't I tell you that in the previous episode, too? I was like, I never saw a Trouble Man in a movie before. Well, I wasn't alive back then. I guess there was a show on TV for years called NYPD, just before it was NYPD Blue, right? So that's where people would have seen him before. And that also would be his training for why he was conducting himself in the climax of Trouble Man the way that he was, because this was not his first rodeo kicking ass. Okay, okay, there is absolutely no reason in my stack of Ebony magazines right here that we flipped through 90 pages in order, page by page, to get to page 90 and to need to get that information. So, yes, thank you, Marvin. Wow, okay. Marvin, I was just actually through this magazine, though, wondering if I was going to see any pictures of you, but I think we got what we were supposed to get. Now, I should stop. It's addicting, people. It's just addicting to flip page by page through these old magazines. But yeah. That is what that was for. So let me, okay, I'll tell you, I can do two things at once right here. Oh my God. on page 133, there is a Black man in some, what the fuck do you guys call, are they tidy whities when they're not boxers? Wow, they are, they're not white, they're purple. And this is the guy who's on the cover. Next year is going to be different. Oakland A's pitcher says he learned a lot in nightmare year. I still am trying to see what this man's name is. By Vita Blue, a power. Vita Blue was hampered both by the baseball strike and his long holdout this spring. A powerful young man, opposite page. He is in his purple whiteies, his purple tighties, his tidy purples. He is a natural athlete who should become an established superstar. So I guess he wrote his little article because it's by him. That is, when you turned to that page, that was just a lot of information to take in right there. Because, yes, okay. That would get your attention. Okay, but anyway, yes, what I was telling you is I was reading the booklet that came along with the 40th anniversary of Trouble Man, and there was a little picture of Marvin that would have been an equivalent to any of these ads that I have just, you know, been looking through 146 pages of in the Ebony here. And that's exactly what it read like. It's what it looked like. And there was a picture of Marvin, the multiple pictures that you see of Marvin from Trouble Man shoot, photo shoot, right? Where he's in the khaki colored suit, got his jacket and his pants and his boots, and the various poses of him in the chair being the king that he is. And there was one of those versions of a picture of him, and then just a little call out box beneath him that said that he has now been, you know, elevated to being one of the most important Black artists, writers, you know, it's weird. I just said writer, but that's the way that it read in that little thing here too. And from that booklet, in any of these little captions on these pictures, they're writing it that way too. Very choppy. So it was, he has been elevated to one of the most important Black artists, writer and arranger.
Well, are you saying he's one of the most important Black artists, writers, and arrangers? Like, why are you saying it like that? Anyway, and they were saying that what Marvin did with the project Trouble Man is that he did both a soundtrack, which is what the album, your disc that you can listen to, the 13 songs on the, or the vinyl that was released in 1972, that is the soundtrack. And he also did the score. Okay. So that's a huge distinction in projects like that your fave may have ever been a part of. I'm on a page right now. It's just also catching my breath. The Italian Way to Look, the fashion fair. The Ebony Fashion Fair. These pages were always cool to look at. Boy, this woman's feet. She's got some open-toed sandals and her feet. They shouldn't be looking like that. But then there's another page. This woman is wearing a blue fur blouse. Because it is not a jacket. It would be the equivalent. If it wasn't made out of fur, it would just be a collared long sleeve, blue and black striped blouse. And then she has on some blue jeans and some platform blue boots. The boots are giving me life right now. I want these boots. These boots are every single thing. But yeah, she's killing this. It makes me think that these pants she's actually wearing are suede. I mean, but the blue that is going on right now, my goodness. Yes, the fashion fair pages. I used to always love this part. Yes. Okay, here's more blue. Yes. There's an ad for Essence. I told you. I wanted to write for Ebony or Essence magazine. It all started right here. These back in the day editions is where that desire came from. Okay, I wasn't going to be able to not look through this whole thing. We're getting towards the end. Got a Maxwell House. Is it Maxwell or Max? Maxwell House coffee. And then the Kraft spaghetti dinner, tangy Italian style with aged Parmesan cheese. Kraft dinners, great ideas for good cooks on a budget. Oh, I guess that just came with everything. Rich, red, and hearty with a special blend of spices in the sauce. I'm not understanding what you get here, like a little sauce packet or something. Then we've got our instant Quaker oatmeal boxes. It's a cute little baby. Holding all these boxes of oatmeal. Let beauty go to your head. Then they've got some wigs. Yes, with never a care for your hair. Mail your order today. Immediate shipment. Starglow in Chicago. Please send me the items listed below. You got to tell them your style, your color, your description, and the price. Note, where close match is desired, please enclose hair sample. Oh my God. Wow. 33 shades. Wow. I enclose a money order for blank in full payment. Star Glow will pay all postage charges or send COD. I enclose a $5 deposit and I will pay the balance to the postman as postage charges when delivered. Stop. No, they did not tell you to send a sample of your hair. What in the fuck, for real? There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 styles to choose from. In 72, though, were these, like, are any of these what you should have been? There is a legit mullet option, but they're calling it the ribbon wig. Features a unique open cap, allows you to pull your hair through to give added length and color variation. Okay, yeah, you would need to have a little bit of your own hair to make that work, because otherwise you are legit a business in the front and a party in the back, or which is it? Is it vice versa? But that is legit just a mullet, bud. Wow. Got a clabber girl.
That was the secret ingredient to my grandmother's pancakes. I have Clapper Girl in my cupboard right now.
Okay.
There was another baseball guy article. And then, wow, I can't believe that we got that information about Trouble Man being the father of the little boy that is the main star in Sounder. Oh my, there is no way in fuck that I would have ever, ever, ever researched and found that. Because like I told you, okay, hold on. I gotta put you down because I ain't gonna fuck with this avenue going in there wrong. Okay, just put the ebony back. Wow! Wow! I can't even understand why that just happened, except for... Y'all, I have tried to explain to you over time. I know you think this girl, you know, she's a little... Yeah, I know you think it, and that's fine. You're like, I've told you even, too, without those thoughts that you can have on me. That's okay, you can. Shit, I know what's going on up in here. So anyway, now I have come back over to my little thing that I just saw on Marvin that looks exactly like any of those ads in the 150 pages of Ebony that I just went through that I would have seen. That's why I just had to go get into an Ebony after I saw this. So let me read you what this says. Now well established as one of the USA's most important black artists and successful writer, producer, and arranger, Marvin Gaye now shows us another dimension of his versatility with his new album, Trouble Man. This original soundtrack for the new 20th Century Fox film, that's what Sounder was, released through. Trouble Man is Marvin Gaye's first motion picture score. Okay, now, I told you, I have recorded multiple versions of this episode over time, but... And you know what? I'm probably just going to blend it in from previous recordings. But let me see. I'm trying to Google it really quick here. Because there was a website that got pretty deep into the weeds of discussing the distinctions between a film's... Yeah, here we go. Soundtrack and a film's score. And so, and kind of basically one is both, but one is not the other. Fuck this. This is not what I got on before. Let's see. Anyway, because I don't even want to break your mind with how detailed some of this information was going. But yeah, this is what I found before. Soundtrack versus score. Learn about the two types of film music. It's on a website called masterclass.com. Two major components of film music are the score and the soundtrack. Okay, what is a film soundtrack? A film soundtrack is a selection of recorded songs that accompany a film, also known as an original soundtrack. This musical selection can include original songs. That's kind of a distinction on Marvin's soundtrack for Trouble Man. They were all original songs, right? They were all brand new songs that Marvin packaged up for that soundtrack. Or they can be pre-existing songs that played during the film or were specifically recorded for the film. A soundtrack is also known as an original soundtrack. Unlike film scores, the soundtrack may feature music that was not recorded for the film, but fits its overall mood and tone. Soundtracks may also feature vocal snippets of dialogue from specific moments in the film. For example, the Pulp Fiction soundtrack features Samuel Jackson's famous monologue. I don't know that. I don't like that movie. I don't really rep for that movie, so I'm not going to cite it. What is a film score? A film score refers to the original music that accompanies a film. In most cases, movie music is written by a film composer hired for the production. The movie score heightens the film's emotions, creating an oral mood for each scene. Along with sound effects and dialogue, the film's composer writes the original score. Well, who is this in our case? Man named the baddest motherfucker that there ever is. Okay, so he was the film's composer in this case. he wrote the original score, often with help from an orchestrator. After the composition is written, the composer will work with instrumentalists or use digital composition software to record the final product. A film score is a part of a film's soundtrack and can refer to any musical composition ranging from climactic moments to the background music. Okay, there we go. That's what we needed to know. Okay. So the score can also be a part of the soundtrack, but the score is definitely all of the music that you hear within the movie. Okay. So that's what I told you about. I don't know. That's 38 minutes now that I've been recording the segment. So like 33 minutes ago is that may be a distinction, to something that your fave is my fave. Like, I'm not going to talk shit about you. Like, you're some spy listening in on this podcast because you really don't like my, you're here for Marvin. So he's your fave, but like other people that, you know, were his peers, let's just leave it at that, that might have had a distinction of being a part of a soundtrack or providing a soundtrack. That's not the same thing as the score. Okay. It's not the same thing as the score. So that's why I told you at the end of the last episode to watch Trouble Man. And I could see you guys have done that too. I have that movie, and I did, after I released the episode, I went ahead and created a very easy to find playlist. It's the very first playlist as soon as you hit my channel, and there's sitting right there. I think it's the first video is Trouble Man, and it's on somebody else's channel. I just have a link, you know, I've saved it to mine, and it was at 299,000 views when I recorded. It's gone up to 301,000 views. You guys are watching that movie. I know we're not the only people, but that movie has been up on that person's channel for like 10 years, and just us in the past like month grew that motherfucker's views by 2,000. So you're welcome. Hold on. I'm going, just let me get to my channel really quick so that I can see. Oh, you know what though? This is what I see that kind of bugs me. When I get into YouTube to look at my own channel, it doesn't look the same to me the way that it does to you. Now, I'm not even talking about like my playlist and stuff. I'm talking about to go to my channel. Yeah, I don't get to see Trouble Man sitting right there. Anyway, you guys have watched Trouble Man. So how I told you that if you watch Trouble Man with the perspective of watching that movie to hear all of the music within it, it becomes an adorable vehicle to communicate Marvin's music, right? Because, and that's where you get, it's like, it's not a bad movie. It's a good enough movie. You know, it's not probably like your top 10 of all time, but it's a good enough movie, right? And evidently, that's what I'm saying. Like, I had not ever seen Robert Hooks before Trouble Man, but clearly he had a years-long role on a good TV show. You know, no TV show lasts for years. That's multiple seasons, right? And if it's not a good show, fuck, right now I'm into reruns of Cagney and Lacey. That show came out when I was like 3 years old, and so of course I wasn't watching it then, but I remember it being on like when I'd be going to bed as a little girl, and I always wanted to be able to watch that show, and I never could stay up that late or whatever. So it's like, fuck it, I'm watching that show now. But so that show is one of like the highest Emmy awarded shows of all time. Why did I come back over here? I've walked back over to where, oh, the Ebony was. I guess I kind of want to get that information again on Robert Hooks. But anyway, I can keep talking. I know it's on page 90 now. Just opened right up to it. So, you know, a show is not going to last on TV for multiple years unless it's really good, because even Cagney and Lacey, it ended up being one of the most, it won 14 Emmy Awards. It has a record that they said only, and I think Golden Girls is the only show that has duplicated this, but they were like, it's the only show, and probably for a dramatic actress, lead dramatic actress, that for 6 years straight, without a break, 6 years in a row, from 1982 until 1988. That's the whole fucking time that show lasted. The show went from 1982 until 1988. One of those two actresses that were the leads in that show won the Best Actress Emmy for a lead drama actress, whatever, every single fucking year. They said the only other show that's only been duplicated by another show, and I bet you it's Golden Girls, because the Golden Girls won best lead comedy performance by an actress for years and years and years in a row, too. They just switched it between all four of those chicks. Each one of them won an Emmy on that show as the best lead comedy actress. So, boom. But, okay. So even at that, with Cagney and Lacey, they tried to cancel that show. They did actually cancel that show two times. And people had to write in their letters to say, hey, what the fuck are you guys trying to do? Like, this is a good show. Bring it back. So, but they did cancel that show two times. And it won 14 Emmys in its whole thing. So this little note that we get about Robert Hooks talks with his sons, Eric and Kevin, the two little boys in the movie Sounder that came out in the same year as his movie Trouble Man. Hooks starred for years on a TV show, NYPD, and was one of the organizers of the Negro Ensemble Theater in New York. He currently directs the Black Repertory Theater in Washington, D.C., a group that utilizes new Black actors. So he was like kind of a behind-the-scenes man with his career. You can tell, like I said, and I'm an old movie aficionado, so I never really saw him in a movie before that or since, but he kept in the game just on the other side of things. And that's where we get into this distinction with Marvin too, bitch. It's like, yeah, okay, so you have your little soundtrack for 13 songs that maybe other people from the time that you know have blaxploitation movie film soundtracks too. But the question to ask, and here's something that I did do in previous recordings of this, and I didn't tell you the reason why I did not release that material or whatever is because it was taking too much of my fucking time to try and find if Marvin's peers have that same distinction as he does. And it was nowhere clear to me whether or not they did. And therefore, I don't give a fuck. And therefore, I can't say yes or no. But I can say that it wasn't just a clear boom distinction where their credit for their work on their projects was quickly and distinctly and succinctly being listed and credited as that they both did the soundtrack and the score. Let me continue and elaborate, finish a thought. The score is why the movie Trouble Man is adorable, because it can communicate to you all of the music within that movie where you were hearing Marvin's sounds. So what the 40th anniversary packaging re-release, super duple, triple, double deluxe, why would you order that? You wouldn't order something that said triple and then double, but you know what I'm talking about. So that, for the 40th anniversary of Trouble Man, when they issued it. Fuck, when was that? In 2012? I feel like it's just got to be there. I don't know, 72 to 82 to 92 to 2002, 2012, yeah. Because I was just like, it's a long time ago that that came out, but it ain't that long ago, so it had to be 2012. It was all of these new songs, right, that you had probably not ever heard before, unless you had happened to not be able to sleep on a weekend and you were watching VH1 at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and all of the next thing that you saw was Trouble Man, the movie, coming on, and they played the movie. And you actually got to see that shit one time on TV. But like one really random as fuck time. Until you came across my man's video on YouTube that I've hipped you to. So, on demand now, right? But go ahead, and I know you've done this exercise, and I appreciate it, because I told you I would, because now we can continue this conversation. So that movie is an adorable little vehicle to be able to hear what all of these new cuts are in your 40th anniversary packaging of Trouble Man. Because in the 40th anniversary packaging of Trouble Man, what we receive is both the full score, which is all of the music that Marvin provided for the inside of the movie Trouble Man. So let me hip you to it. This means you've watched the movie now.
And you did it for that exercise because you were paying attention to when did you start to hear music playing. And I didn't really quite hip you into what that was for, but what that was for is because every little bit of music that you heard with inside of the movie Trouble Man, be it in the very beginning of the movie Trouble Man, where Trouble Man has come into his little pool hall and he's sitting on his little throne, gonna just take on whoever wants to take him on, like he's Minnesota Fats from The Hustler. And there's some music playing that sounds like it could be from a jukebox or whatever. But when you listen to that, you realize, oh, wait a minute, that's that little cut from the 40th anniversary of the re-release of Trouble Man. So hold on now, let me get into Spotify and I'll tell you what the name, it's something like Jimmy's Cafe or something, or like, I'll tell you in just a second. I'm going to get into Spotify and I'm going to get into the 40th anniversary package of Trouble Man. Cavron, this isn't, let me see here. Fucking, when you don't have like the full version, I've told you this, when you don't have the full version of Spotify, they fuck with you. So what I need is this, the 40th anniversary expanded. All right, so when Trouble Man is sitting there in the little pool hall, you start to hear some music playing. It sounds like it could be from a little jukebox. Now, let's see. I told you we'll hear music. So there is a cut called Pool Hall. Let's see what this sounds like. This is, if it turns into a little swingy, jazzy after this, then this will be right there. You hear this very faintly in the pool hall when Trouble Man is sitting there and all of these fools are around him coming up and asking him for help and shit. Okay, so all of these little, okay, I am edifying myself because, all right, look, this is what happened to me and I was getting fucked up. You know what? Shame the fuck off me that I listened to this the wrong way like that. But I think you know why I did it like this, full too. Like, hold on, because like I'm trying to talk shit on myself, but I actually do understand why I did it like this. And you don't even know what I'm saying yet still. So when I watched Trouble Man about a month back now, and I have my little pad and pen, I got to find the pad that I jotted all of these details down. But what I restricted my cross-reference to was Marvin's 1972 soundtrack. I was trying to understand, why did I just take you on to some master class, right? Like, that, it's, they were going very, very, there was like a lot the fuck more information on that website that I could have told you about the fucking difference between a score and a sound. And, well, we don't have that many brain cells left, okay? So we got the gist of what the fuck is the difference. But definitely what it is that the soundtrack, you don't necessarily have to hear all of that music within the movie. A soundtrack can be all originally made songs for an accompaniment, accompaniment to a film. And say that all of that music in the soundtrack was originally written for that movie. But that does not mean that you are necessarily going to have heard every one of those songs within the movie. And so the time that I sat here and watched Trouble Man and jotted down all of these little minute and second counts and then put on the soundtrack and had to find which song it was, I limited it to Marvin's 1972 release soundtrack because I wanted to see if all of those songs are heard within the movie. And no, they're not. I am kind of starting to get a little ticked off because I don't see my notes in here. Where the fuck are my notes on that? I'm going to find that. But I got stumped. I'm watching the movie, and there's a quick little scene in a bowling alley, and the music sounds an awful, awful, awful lot like a cut from the soundtrack. And it was so quick, and then it flashed away. And I listened and listened and listened through the soundtrack over and over and over again, trying to match that up, and I couldn't and I couldn't. But right now, when I got into the 40th anniversary, right away, look. Bowling alley, parking lot, trouble. That the fuck right there is what I heard. And yes, it very much does sound like a song from the 13-track 1972 soundtrack. But it's actually... Here, I'm playing it right now. Okay, this right here is in the parking lot. Trouble Man is kicking the ass of two that come up on him. Trying to jump him in the parking lot. And then after he fucks them up in the parking lot, he goes into this little bowling alley. Right here. See, you do hear this somewhere in the Trouble Man soundtrack, don't you? But it specifically, just for all by itself, is a cut for the score that Marvin did, because it's playing when he's kicking ass in the parking lot, and then after he does that, he goes into the bowling alley, and I feel like he uses the phone in there or something. So that is what this 40th anniversary edition contains. Both the little cuts. This is a minute and 16 long track that you hear within the movie, but then also all of the songs that were just standalone the soundtrack. Now, what did we learn about the soundtrack? They can be originally made songs just to accompany the mood of that movie. And that's what it can be. It's like it's a brand new song fitting the theme of Trouble Man, but you didn't hear that song within the movie. But it was made only to go along with this movie. So this thing is about to cut me off. Let me save it and we'll start another section. Okay, and I'm actually going to end this episode right here. As I mentioned at the beginning, this was just what happened on January 27th when I recorded this. And I wasn't done, and I'm not done yet. But like I said, I wanted this to be timely just to honor our queen, Cicely Tyson, and to continue the conversation on Trouble Man. I have a little bit more research to do. I am working on this. And I will be wrapping up this conversation soon. So I appreciate you listening, and I'll be talking to you soon. Bye-bye.